What's up, y'all? Welcome back to another episode of the Cheeky Midweeky, where we are making strength and conditioning not boring anymore. Before we get into today's episode, please hit that like and subscribe button. It costs you nothing, and it helps this show continue to grow and reach more coaches. In today's episode, I am joined by Coach Justin Ochoa, and we talk about the integration of sport training and strength conditioning. Where does one end and the other one begin? We talk about this inside this episode because he is one of the best strength coaches being able to blend basketball skill with things inside the weight room. 2026 ends the three-year current CEU cycle for the NSCA. Do not wait until December 31st, 2026 to get your CEUs submitted to the NSCA. Get it taken care of now with an annual membership to Strength Coach Network, where you will get access to performance coaching 101, 102, 103, with each course giving you access to 2.0 NSCA CEUs. If you also need CSCCA CEUs, those same courses come with 10 CEUs to the CSCCA. If you need CEUs to the NSCA, CSCCA, you need help getting reinstated by going through all the process for the CSCCA from last year, or you want to just make sure you knock out everything for the NSCA with this year, 2026, being a reporting period, please reach out to us at service@strengthcoachnetwork.com. We will get you taken care of. We'll help you get everything lined up so you can keep your certification and you don't have to worry about anything other than coaching your athletes. Again, you can click the link down below for more information or email us at service@strengthcoachnetwork.com.
I know.
Shout out to all the parents that have been dealing with kids staying at home. I did not realize that that was happening, but yeah. If you have been dealing with your kids at home, welcome back to reality. You are not in COVID anymore. Shout out to that one.
That was crazy.
Actually, hold on. COVID was kind of, if I'm looking at my notes, COVID shut down gym numero uno, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it did. COVID was crazy times for everybody, and especially for my family.
Let's dive into that. We say that this show is making strength and conditioning not boring anymore, and COVID shutting down a gym. Let's dive into it.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it was interesting. Like, you know, in Indiana, I'm in Indianapolis. So at the time there was no unemployment or anything like that for like entrepreneurs. So, and then when they came out with the PPP loans, that was like several months down the line. And that was kind of a sham too. I didn't really want to put all my eggs in that basket. So they shut my gym down and they were enforcing it pretty hard in Indiana.
Really?
And so, yeah, for me, like I just kind of was, I've been a hustler my whole life. Like, so I'm going to find a way. So if I can't, you know, I'm not going to say that I wasn't sneaking people in the back door and doing a little bit of training. Like, I'm not going to say it was full stop, but it wasn't enough to keep the revenue coming in like it was. So, yeah. Yeah, I ended up, man, I was delivering pizzas, working at Amazon warehouse, 6P to 6A overnight shift. Like, yeah, I was really grinding, man. So just had to survive for, 3 or 4 months just until I could get the okay to open the gym back up. And then once we did, man, it was actually kind of crazy because it was like the first time where everybody had truly like an off season or time off. Right. Yes, so everybody needed training. Everybody needed to get back into kind of like a GPP phase. You know, the home workouts weren't really cutting it for a high level athletes.
Team Builder is Strength Coach Network's trusted provider for online software for strength coaches. It does not matter what sector of strength and conditioning you work in, you want to get Team Builder because you will be able to program for your athletes, simply distribute the training to them, and make changes, modifications, whatever you need. I've been utilizing them since 2019 when I was back at Towson. I still use it in person at Goldfinch with all my remote clients throughout the country and in person at the high school, Centennial High, right down the road when I was volunteering for them. You got to check out Team Builder in the link down below. The people that work for them are former strength and conditioning coaches, so they get it. They are able to help you with all of your needs. Again, reach out to your Team Builder rep and learn more about them in the link down below.
So it really, as bad of a situation as it was, kind of was it like amplified and kind of propelled my business forward because it really people needed a place to train and quick to get back to, you know, their normal training and get back into the seasons that they were going into. So yeah, it was definitely crazy times, man.
I think something that you just hit on that Kier was talking about for a while during all of it was the fact of like how beautiful the rest was and how much people really needed it. And so I say that now where, okay, they're not forced to have it with COVID, but like man, y'all don't don't underestimate how important a little bit of a break for these athletes are to get away from certain things. Like, you don't have to sprint your athletes all the time. Yes, even your basketball players, your football players, like early off season, maybe you're not sprinting them. Like, don't forget how neurologically demanding it is. Sure, it goes away really fast when we look at the block periodization, residual gain. Like, sure. But you know what? When you're dealing with the athletes that you have and these other coaches have, they're going to get it back. And when you're smart about your progressions and regressions like you were, they're going to come back and things are going to be better because they're refreshed.
Yeah. No, it was actually – it was cool to see just how everybody responded to some general stuff. Like, we ran a 1x20 program, and it was amazing to see, like, how much you could still get out of – that program with these high level athletes, just with some general, really good movements, basics, you know, volume at that level and running that consistently for about 3 to 4 weeks. It was like, man, there was still juice left in that squeeze to think that had that not happened, I maybe would have had him on some type of elaborate program. It's like, dude, I really just, for the first time, it was like, no, not a lot of individualization. It was like, everybody was pretty much doing the same thing. Maybe some variations here or there that people needed based on their biomechanics or technique or whatever. But yeah, it was eye opening. Like, damn, we really just did the basic stuff for, you know, 3 or 4 weeks, and everybody seemed to have improved all of these general qualities. And then we can move forward and kind of get back to our regular style.
Somebody I need to connect you with is Yosef Johnson, who's in the Michigan area. So look, like, I know it's still far,
yeah,
same time zone, and being able to connect with you because you'd really appreciate his stuff. And like you said, with the goodness for that high level athlete, one of the things that he taught me was he was able to learn from, you know, Bondarchuk, Isserin, and Verkhoshansky, like from them, not like translate, like he wasn't reading their text. He was spending time with them. Right.
Oh, that's crazy.
And, exactly. And, the definition that the Russians had over there that we have kind of bastardized, and I've learned it from Yosef, so you're going to enjoy, it'll be better to talk to him about it, but was an athlete was considered advanced, not based on their skill proficiency, but like to be deemed a high level athlete was how long you trained under a master strength and conditioning coach. So like, if you know, you're pro athletes, if they've been working with you for 5 years, they're kind of like an intermediate athlete. But if you've had somebody for 10 years because of how skilled you are, okay, now that's a pretty advanced athlete. Sure, let's see what they do on the court. But in terms of like actual strength qualities, speed qualities, like you've been working with them and you have your hands on them versus, all right, you get a guy from the Pacers that's going to work with you for 1 year. It's like he still hasn't touched anything because who knows what his development has been.
Yeah, that's a great point. And that's one of the things that I really like about, you know, this business is that you have the ability to create those relationships and really work with athletes for an extended period of time. And you know, I do have athletes that have been with me for a decade, and it's cool to see. Right. It's also like humbling because it's like, do they need me at this point? Exactly. Probably not need, but is it enjoyable for them? Do they still see the benefits? Like being with me for 10 years, they could probably write a pretty good, they could probably be a pretty good strength coach.
Yes.
I would think like, yes. If that would be my goal, you know? So it's like one of those things where it makes you feel good that it's still a choice for them and they're choosing to still train with you. But it also helps set that foundation for the environment and the culture, because you have those leaders that kind of know the program. And so, you know, in a semi-private model, you may not see every single rep of every set. I might have a conversation going on the other side of the room and I miss something, but one of my leaders, one of my vets, they already know what I'm thinking, what I want to see. They can handle that for me. And it's like almost your athletes become an assistant coach or an extension of you. So it's really dope.
Yeah. And it's like when you have something, and I'm trying to think of like, when you're in a routine for a while, or if you have like the same, I have like almost some of the same Olympic lifting shoes or some like the certain belt. And it's like, no, I just know how this thing works. And it's like, yeah, sure, I could write my own program, but I don't want to, because now they're getting the magic out of it, because they're wringing all the benefits from being able to work with you for that long. Like they're reaping the, a marriage, right? Like my wife and I are about to be reaching 10 years, and it's like, okay, like, yeah, sure, if I leave my wife and start all over, and it's like, sure, you go through the honeymoon phase, but it's like you don't get to then reap the benefits of everything that you've built and put together with those athletes and with you. I think that's the thing that you're offering to them that nobody else can, is that that history, and you know their training history. Like, you know the injuries and the nicks and the, hey, you know when you do this, your body doesn't respond to it.
Like, yeah,
that's what they're getting when they get you, you know?
Yeah.
And like, how do you put a price tag on that?
That's a great point. Yeah. Like, shout out to the wives too, man. We're on 11 years over here. So it's like, dude, you got to be a special woman, special type of person to be married to a strength coach or a coach or anybody in like the sports realm. So gotta get the brownie points where you can.
Okay. I'll give you a crazy story. So I left Iowa to go be the head strength coach at Towson, and my wife, 7 months pregnant, and I'm taking her away from her family where she lived.
Man, that's the real MVP right there.
Oh, that's why she's been on the show, and we've had episodes, and I actually like, okay, that was rough. And then, you know, did that with her. So moved her, had to get set up a new OBGYN. And then I get let go after they hire a new head football coach, even though we were told that wasn't going to happen. So she's like, hey, I thought you said this wasn't going to happen, wasn't fun. And kind of like you talked about, like your hustling mentality during COVID and how it was fruitful and beneficial for you all. Like, same thing happened. I had a friend of mine that he got let go, and we were able to kind of help out him and his wife where she's pregnant and expecting. And like, now my wife can talk to his wife about like, hey, these are kind of some things to expect. And, you know, just being able to walk people through seasons of life and how powerful that can be.
For sure.
Let's dive into the nitty gritty about basketball. You've talked openly about, you know, not being prepared for the jump from high school to college. What were some of those gaps that you see, and how are you trying to help make sure that young athletes aren't doing it now? Because we have a lot of strength coaches that work in basketball that listen to this, and they're going to want to try to steal some nuggets from you.
Yeah, that's a good question, man. I think like one of the biggest shortcomings or one of the things that I see with athletes in high school that are trying to get ready for the next level is that we have an abundance of people who are teaching people how to train, but not necessarily like how to prepare. And so what I mean by that is all the other things that aren't really like physical. So the mental, the mindset aspect of it, the academic aspect of it, the mental health aspect of it, you know, dealing with pressure, dealing with outside opinions, dealing with social media opinions, dealing with the internal like battle of, am I good enough? Am I ready? Like, I think the physical part, like we're getting pretty good at. And, you know, I think there's obviously still some improvements to be made there. And I'm sure we'll continue to grow as a industry. But for me, it's like we're not teaching them how to prepare for these leaps outside of the physical things. And so that's something that I'm kind of try to weave into my program, whether it be film study, whether it be just showing kids how to keep a schedule, like how to put appointments in your calendar and adhere to them, how to approach those appointments. Like, being on time is like late. You know what I mean? Like, if you're 15 minutes early, you have time for the wreck that you didn't know was going to happen in front of you on the way, or for the, you know, traffic that you get stuck in. Or if you still get there 15 minutes on time, now you have extra time to warm up, or you don't have to be in so much of a rush. Like, little things like that, I think, just matter so much to getting to the next level and being able to be successful at the next level. Because when you get to the next level, you realize that everybody is who you were in high school. Everybody on their college team, even the walk-ons, are probably the best player on the team that they played on last year. So now talent has become pretty equal. So what are the other separators? It's your mindset. It's your preparation. It's the way you handle your business, conduct yourself on the court, off the court, on social media, all those things like that. I think that is a cheat code for today's young athlete to be prepared for, you know, success at the next level. And obviously there's physical things too we can talk about, but for me, that's where I see the easiest way to kind of shrink that gap.
I think you'd agree with me. Once you get into the private space, you can pour in, like, guys like you and I, we can pour into those kids through and talk to the parents. And like, if you're listening to this and you're working in the private space, lean into talking to the parents. I just got a text from a mom today, like, hey, there's this, you know, camp that, you know, so-and-so could go to, like, what are your thoughts about this? Like, is it worth it? How, you know, what's the college recruiting process? And like you said, to be able to talk them through, and I walked it through a high school kid that's going to go to college now.
Huck and Dynamic is Strength Coach Network's trusted provider for force plates and for handheld dynamometers. Not only am I using it now in the private sector at Goldfinch, I was utilizing this software when I was back at Towson University. You're able to transport the plates because I've taken them from our private sector facility to our other locations, also been able to take it from our private in-person location to the high school down the road to do some testing with athletes right then and there. You're able to pair your true strength with the Striking Difference machine. The people at Hawken are fantastic. The technology is second to none. You have to learn more about Hawken Dynamic in the link down below.
When you can just pour into them and help them learn those things, because you're right, I've worked in the college space. The things that separated the, yes, there's the talent, but it's also talent plus, because you mentioned the co-actives and how you separate yourself. And that is what makes people a pro. And those are things that John Calipari is talking about right now. Like, when these kids are getting paid all this money and they like, we're bending rules for them. And then if they're not going to go pro, now they're screwed when they leave college.
Yeah. Yeah. That could be a whole topic right there, because it's like, your job is basketball. So you don't have a real opportunity to get actual real world, like, job experience.
Yep.
So, and then even today, you know, like, obviously it's so difficult, so rare to make it to the NBA, but there's other options. Like, you could play overseas, you could play in the G League, but now the top schools are paying so much money at the Division I level that your first deal overseas is going to be like disrespectful. Like, if you're making $500K at Duke and you're a good, solid starter or role player, not an NBA guy, but a 3-and-D type of player who could go have a good overseas career, you may go play in a top league in, you know, Italy, Greece, maybe like a second league in Germany, second league in Spain. Like, those are really high level basketball, but you might make 70, 80, six figures if you're lucky, but you're taking a humongous pay cut. That's really like, that's not motivating, you know? That's not like an appetite. It used to be like, I'm not getting paid shit. I'm grinding. I'm making so much money for this school. Oh, I'm going to go play in Germany. I'm going to make 70K my first year. Sweet. But now that doesn't seem like such a sweet deal when I just made 500K last season. So
yeah, it was 500K and they didn't care what I did because they just wanted me to play. They were skirting me through school. Now it's like, no. Now they want you to show up early, take care of your body, go to film, all the little things that people were looking the other way for. We're creating a system that's not going to work out very well for them.
Not to mention, there's a language barrier. I'm one of two Americans on my team. I don't know what my coaches or teammates are talking about. We got two-a-days. There's no strength coach. Like, what am I – how do I make it from where I was to now? So, and that's a real thing. And – you know, obviously, it's only been a couple of years in this new kind of NIL scenario, but within the next couple of years, that's going to be interesting to see how people navigate that. Because obviously, if you get to the EuroLeague or the NBL in Australia or like some of these top leagues in Turkey, Spain, you're still going to make like really good money. But a lot of times, rookies are not getting those deals immediately. You're going to still have to climb up the ranks of maybe a second division in a really good country, or even a top division in a smaller country. And it's just like, yeah, you can get to that 500K. You can make a million in the EuroLeague. You can make a million in China, but it's going to take some steps to get there. So it's going to be weird to kind of see how the athletes handle that.
How do you go about then, you know, imparting that wisdom to the athletes that you're working with? Because coaches are like, okay, man, I'm living it. I'm working in the P4. I'm working there. And I'm trying to instill mindsets, or a high school kid that's getting heavily recruited. What has been some of your tips and tricks to sprinkle it in when you're with your athletes?
Yeah. I mean, going back to kind of what we talked about is, if you are an athlete that has some of those things instilled in them with, you know, some of those, you know, off the court habits, I think you're a little bit better prepared to handle the adversity or some of the situations that you get into. So your ability to handle things like a professional, approach things in such a professional manner like that, I think will ultimately, obviously you may still have to take a pay cut or you may have to, you know, grind it out in a couple of years in the G League or in a lower level league. But if you still have that same approach, it's going to make it easier to get through those moments. And so I'm just always telling them, like, obviously I'm big on the journey, the process. Like, everybody is so outcome driven. Everybody's so destination focused. But if you can learn from the process, learn from the journey of all the steps that you're going through, that's where the real nuggets are, right? If you were able just to jump from point A to point B and get immediately what you want right away, then you probably miss out on some really good lessons. Yes. And probably miss out on some really valuable lessons, because eventually you're going to get hit with something. Like, you're going to get an injury, or you're going to get cut from a team or something. You're going to have to know how to deal with some adversity. So I'm just big on telling them, like, along your path, really just take note of, like, what all of these situations are trying to teach you. When things aren't going your way, you don't ask yourself, like, why me? Like, why is this happening to me? Like, what am I doing wrong? What's happening? Just ask yourself, like, what is this moment trying to teach you about yourself, so that you can look at it, analyze it, see it for what it is, and then next time you're in a moment like that, be the your version of yourself that you needed to be, and then get through that next moment. So those are kind of the talks that we have, and just understanding, like, you know, it's life, man. Life is going to life. So you got to figure this shit out. You know, you got to figure this shit out, and because you don't have a choice. What are you going to do? Just, you know, complain about it for the rest of your life? So we're really big on, we just have real conversations in the gym. Stuff like that comes up all the time.
What's been the best way to then get those kind of guys to trust you? Is it time spent? Is it you sharing vulnerable stories? Because again, we're at strength coaches that they're, you know, depending on when they're listening to this, maybe they're at a new team and they're trying to build new relationships, and like, golly, I'm struggling right now.
Yeah. I mean, for me, like, I'm a big relationship guy. Like, I really want to earn an athlete's trust. And I think a lot of that, partially, one thing that has helped me is I do have a lot of athletes that have been with me for a while. So I have their standing reference, you know, in perpetuity. Like, when I post them, or if they repost something, or if they are talking to a teammate or something, I have them advocating for me. And so new clients come in, new athletes come in kind of comfortable already, because they have heard from somebody that they trust that I'm somebody that they can be mentored by or be trusted, you know? So I think that's a big thing, just eliminating that initial, the initial, like, nervousness or like scrutiny that you may have had to deal with. Like, if you were just getting leads like blindly.
Powerlift is Strength Coach Network's trusted provider for exercise equipment. Made here in the USA, right down the road in the state of Iowa, Powerlift has the ability to customize whatever you need in your room, regardless of the sector of strength and conditioning. If you need a massive, big room, they have the ability to help you with that. If you're confined with space and you need to get creative, their reps are able to help you get what you need done, and being able to get any customizations that you or your organization want with your logo on the equipment. Click the link down below to learn more about Powerlift. And if you have any questions about them, please feel free to reach out to us.
A lot of my incoming clients, they come from a direct reference, or they come from somebody that we have a mutual connection with or something like that. So I think, like, one thing that I've been really intentional about is just getting to know people and getting to understand, like, who my athletes are outside of what they do. Right? They're all professional basketball players, but that's just their job. So, like, who are you with your family, your friends? What type of stuff do you like? You watching shows? What kind of music do you like? Are you into cars? Like, what are your hobbies? And trying to connect with them on those levels, because then it's like, we're just training. Like, this is just part of what we have to do to make you better at what you want to, you know, where you want to get in your career. But in between the sets, or even after sessions, or even when we hang out outside of the scope of the gym, it's like, we're really just people who are connected And then that helps them entrust me with some of their thoughts or some of their worries or their feelings. And so we can have real conversations. Like, you know, I'm 36, so a lot of them are maybe like a younger brother type, or maybe even like a father-son type situation for some of the younger athletes. So it's more of a relationship like that, where you just try to build that authentically and use your own life experiences, your own wisdom to kind of pour that into the next generation.
Yeah. And it just sounds like you're, I mean, anybody listening, like that's the transformational coaching side of it, not the transactional, like, hey, how can I actually pour into you and really care about you? But you can just hear it from you. You're in it for the right reasons, to actually help athletes, versus like, no, what can I get out of you type deal?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think one thing that's always stuck with me is, like, early in my career, one of my mentors, my high school strength coach, Okay. Shout out Brian Clark. He took me on a trip with him. This is probably like 2016, to a conference. And he was just like, you know, I was green at the time. I didn't know shit about training. I thought I did, but like, one thing that stuck with me is he just was like, man, you're just authentic. Like, that's going to help you so much. And I can tell when you're conversing with these coaches and people at this conference, like, you're just you, and that's going to help you. So for me, I'm just like, I always just try to remain true to who I am, and understanding that some people might not like it. Obviously you can't please everybody, but if you remain true to yourself, it's like, you know, at least you know the product and service you're putting out. It doesn't take effort. Like, you go be you, and everything else will kind of handle itself.
I hope our listeners, I think they're going to take it not as a throwaway comment, but like, they can, you almost just gave them the freedom to be their selves, instead of like, oh, well, I see insert coach name working at this organization in this, you know, sport, I have to be like them. And when you try to do that, you're not going to make that coach happy, and you're not going to be happy. So you have to, you know, serve your athletes, but be authentic to who you are.
Yeah. And I'm not going to say I haven't, like, you know, fallen off the path from here. Same. You know, you get inspired by people and you're like, damn, they're really good. Like, I like that you try to do it. Anytime I've ever tried to, like, go outside of kind of my lane and who I know to be, it's like, I just feel gross. Like, yeah. It's just like, it didn't work. Like, that is really not for me. And so, yeah, it's like, my mom used to always say, like, this, like, I get caught in a lie, like in high school or something, you know, trying to lie to my parents. She's like, hey, just tell the truth. It's less to remember. I'm like, you're right. Like, you know, you get caught up with like a couple girls in high school or something. And you go to your dad or your mom for advice.
The deer bro. I ran into a deer bro.
Yeah. It's like, hey, man, just, you tell the truth. It's so less much to less to remember. So it's like, if you're authentically you, it's just less work. You just, you do you, you be you, and you move on with the results. So, yeah.
Within your world of training, how do you then make sure that things that happen in the weight room actually blend and transfer to what happens on the court? Because I actually am working on an article right now of like, what is the definition of strength, right? Like, okay, cool. You can back squat a lot of weight, but are you able, like, I would caveat strength as also being able to box out, you know, go through contact and put back a dunk. Like, what is your definition of it? How do you then make sure things that we're doing on the weight room and in the court respect training in the weight room and doing good, like you said, kind of foundational 1x20 type stuff, but then also they transfer and they translate, and athletes are like, no, I feel better. And coaches are like, you know, this athlete moves better.
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think what's helped me is this, always looking at things on a continuum. And so everything's got to be a sliding scale. And you're going to have, on one end, you're going to have the sport, the most specific version of training, right? The practices, the drills, the things like that. On the other end, you'll have the general physical preparation. And so I think a lot of times you want to keep each aspect like on their respective ends, but then find ways to kind of surf up and down that continuum, right? Like, so obviously if you want to get strong, you're going to have to lift some heavy weight, do some foundational movements, you know, kind of more traditional S&C, like whatever you would picture there. And then if you want to get really good at shooting, you're going to have to do shooting drills. Or if you want to get really good at driving to the basket and taking contact, here, we can put it together like that, right? So if you want to get strong, weight room, general. You want to get skilled at taking contact with your trainer, you're working on drills, you're getting contact on the way to the basket, right? So those are the two opposite ends. And each of those is going to probably check enough boxes to where it's going to transfer. But if you want to explore the middle a little bit, you can really navigate some of that gray area with maybe some positional, like some positionally relevant stances with a strength or a core exercise, right? So then it doesn't even have to look like basketball, right? It's not like we have to like mimic a driving angle or anything like that. But maybe you split stance payoff press or split stance overhead press, like something that's going to maybe bridge that gap from super far on the end of sports spectrum, super far on the end of physical general prep. Where can we meet in the middle?
Vitruv is the trusted VBT source for Strength Coach Network, and I have been utilizing this for years at Goldfinch, and I'm going to continue to utilize it because the great price for the encoder, as well as the accuracy with the data. Whether I'm measuring average, peak, or any other metric, if I want to include range of motion, fatigue loss during the set, interest set, whatever it is, I can trust Vitruv, and they are continuing to push the needle and continuing to educate coaches on best practices within the VBT world. Not only do they live in that VBT world, but now they've come out with their new hub. And if you want to learn more about the hub and how it can help you with all of your athletes that you are working with, as we are starting to do this at Goldfinch for our middle school all the way up to college athletes, check them out in the link down below.
And sometimes you can get a little closer to one end or closer to the other or in the middle. But generally, if you are doing both ends of the spectrum at high quality and letting the sport kind of be the sport, the weight room be the weight room, I don't think there's any issue with navigating that gray area. But I think if you make the gray area the bulk of what you do, then you're going to miss out on the extreme benefits that you get from either end of the spectrum. So for me, I kind of live by the 70-20-10 rule. 70%, we're going to know exactly what we're doing. We're going evidence-based. We're doing the tried and true things. 20% of the time, I'm going to do some things that I really think are good, really think are going to be helpful, have a hunch or maybe some early inklings of like research in that area. 10%, I'm going to get creative. I'm going to do some shit that I'm going to experiment with a little bit, but it's not going to be anything that I haven't tried on myself or that's going to put the athlete at risk, right? So I think if you manage it like that, because let's be real, you're going to get so much out of that 70% that it might negate the 10%, and it might not even matter, for better or worse. So that's kind of how I look at things, and just, you know, knowing that if you look at it on that continuum or spectrum, then you could slide the scale either way and explore the middle, but you got to have those anchors on the end for sure.
That's brilliant, and that probably not only keeps you mentally engaged, but it keeps the athlete engaged, and that way you can do your tried and true progressions, regressions, whatever you need to do, but then also experiment so you don't have mental fatigue. I don't know what the appropriate word is, so strength coaches, please don't crucify me over it, but like it gives you that creativity, and it should still be fun. Like, our job should be fun. The athletes training, it should still be fun. Like, that's something that I've openly agreed with Tony Holler on 100% is training should be one of the best parts of whoever we work with today, and it should be fun for us too.
100%. Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, I, as much as I love exercise and trying to be generally healthy, it's like, I don't know that I really love lifting weights. You know, it's like, I have to find ways to keep myself engaged. And I know if I feel that way, then I know athletes do too. I think I love the benefits. I love basketball. I love feeling good. I love improving. But the actual act of like, man, that shit hurts sometimes. Like, it's like, it's not always fun. And so you got to find ways to keep it engaging and make it, you know, easy to kind of see if you're trending in the right direction.
How have you been able to do that by using, you know, we've both been using VBT and Vitruv units to do that with athletes. How are you able to do that to not just chase numbers but or chase intent, but like actually help them and get them to understand like, okay, this is why we're doing it. And this is how it can operate within, you know, the 70% for this movement, but it's also within the 20 and the 10% within the confines of what you're doing.
Man, honestly, VBT has been just probably the best investment that I've ever made. Like, I've had a 1080 sprint. I've had force plates. I have force plates. I've had a lot of cool tools over the years, but, and I love them all. And honestly, if I could have everything, I still would. But VBT, dude, game changer. Like, even, you know, going back to my first one was the push bands, right? And it's like, we there were some issues there, but the principle of what I was learning about velocity-based training was like, oh, this is going to be so helpful for my athletes. And now with Vitruv, obviously, I think that's, for me, like, that's the gold standard. That's, they do the best job. They have everything that you need as a coach. And for me, it's like being able to have athletes obviously train at the right intensity, or, you know, be able to manage the fatigue or some of the loading. That's all awesome. But the number one thing that has been helpful with Vitruv and BBT in general is the intent that you get from it. But more so, like, I'm trying to think of how to say this, putting a name with a face. So in terms of putting a feeling that you feel as an athlete with an intensity that you objectively can see from a lift. And knowing what that feels like, and knowing what 0.85 meters per second feels like, and knowing what it should feel like on your good days, and then knowing what it, you know, what it feels like when you just can't get there. You know what I mean? Like, understanding, like, matching up the internal feeling and the intent that we want with what you're actually doing has been amazing. Because especially for young athletes, and especially for young girls, it's so empowering when you have, you know, like a high school girl, they may be a little timid in the weight room. And it's not, obviously not just girls, just high school kids in general. They may be a little timid in the weight room or intimidated by it. And I say, okay, let's knock out a set of, you know, six on a trap bar deadlift. And I'm looking at it like, damn, they're smoking that. Like, that's light, 95 pounds or whatever they felt comfortable enough to put on there. You can put VBT on there and be like, look, you're moving that at 0.75, and I want you at 0.5. So this is objectively telling me that you have so much more in the tank. How does it feel? Then you can have a conversation and get into, like, the art of coaching. That was kind of easy. I think I maybe could go up. And then you can make some guided recommendations based on the numbers. And in one session like that, you have a young 15, 16-year-old girl that's like, holy shit.
Dasher Strength Coach Network's trusted provider for timing gates for your athletes. Whether you're trying to run A-cells, curve, flies, change in direction with the Pro Agility, the 505, modified 505, whatever you want to do, get valid and reliable setup with your Dasher. I had the black, the blue, and now we have the silver at Goldfinch. We're completely moving over from the blues to just only having the silvers. I only test my athletes on the silvers because it has helped me save so much time, whether I'm going from Ankeny over to Nevada or Ankeny over to Huxley, whatever I got to do. I save so much time, and I want you to be able to save so much time with your setup, because we know that time is precious as strength coaches. Now, not only are you going to be able to save time, but you're going to be able to save money with this great product, and you have a valid and reliable product that has run through countless different articles, as you continue to see online being published with the accuracy of this information. So, if you want to learn more about Dasher, click the link down below to be able to go to their website and learn more about them.
I came into this workout thinking I could just do 25 on each side, and I ended up doing a 45 and a 10.
Yep.
And it's like, what that does for their confidence, like, forget the physical development. Yes. It's like the confidence that they get from that is like unbeatable. So, long-winded answer just to say, like, it helps match up, like, the feeling that they feel of what a good lift or what a hard lift is with what's actually being done. And sometimes those are way off. And so it brings them a little close together. So they are now more autonomous, and like they're lifting. Now they can start to feel when they're having good days, when they're having bad days, when they're off, when things are, you know, not feeling right. So I think it just generally helps every athlete understand and get a more tune with their body and how it feels like during their sessions.
Man, you said so many things right there. Not only what you just said, but like the fact of, yes, like proving to the athlete, hey, you could have lifted more. And then when they realize like you're breaking down barriers and walls that they had preconceived notions,
yeah,
that who knows what little seeds you just planted of, well, now, you know, he was right about that. Like Justin was right. Now maybe, man, you know what, on the court, maybe I'm holding back a little bit, and who knows where it goes from there. And that is the intent behind having your VBT. Cause I had a girl one time, she was similar boat. She's been training with us for a while, you know, 185. She thought was heavy. I was like, girl, you could have done that with a cigarette in your mouth. Like, look, you know, like that was a joke. Right? And long story short, she winds up with two plates on the bar. And now she's doing two plates for reps when it used to be one rep. And I'm like, Morgan, you see, like, we're not saying it like, oh, look what we did. No. This is about how we're pouring into the athletes to then unlock things that they didn't even know were possible.
Yeah, no, it's one of my favorite things to see is like that smile, you know, that kid or even a freaking pro athlete, like their face light up when it's like, oh, wow, I doubted myself. This person believed in me and he was right. Like, what else am I doubting myself about? Like, I need to let go of that mentality and just go. You know what I mean? So it's super dope to see.
Yeah, and like you said, then they just – they now have broken down the walls, they broke down the barriers, and it's just now it makes your whole coaching session with them, you know, as you've been pouring into them, not only just talking about the actual X's and O's, but hey, how am I pouring into you as a person and just everything else.
Yep.
Coaching. So what's something like that you were very confident about early in your career that you're completely different on? And I asked this to coaches to be like, when we're young, we all have it, right? Like, I knew all the answers. Are you kidding me? When I was at Maryland, like, ask Drew Wilson. Like, I knew everything. And it's like, now I look back and I'm like, I can't believe I made those suggestions to him. So we've got some young strength coaches that listen to this, and maybe they're in that spot and they think everything they know is correct. What have you been like? Yeah, this is a 180 shift. And for me, it was energy system work and thinking like, you know, cardiac output or any of that stuff was like total waste of time. Don't need to do it. And I'm like, man, I completely missed the boat on that.
God, I could definitely admit to that. Ah, man, that's a really tough question because I've definitely screwed up a lot of programs in my day. And luckily just worked with some great athletes that made me look better than I was. I think one thing, okay, so this kind of goes to like my early, I guess, my first supervisor, my first manager in the training setting. Was really big on, now this was also like 2012, 2013. So like, I think a lot of the industry was really big on just like mixing things up a lot. Like the old myth of like muscle confusion or kind of like, you know what I mean? Like that was an era, right?
Thing. So like Justin, that was real. We were telling athletes they wanted their muscles to be confused.
I know. And it was like, I always was like, okay, I don't know if muscles can have feelings, like let's stop there. But I did adhere to early in my career, like first couple of years, like a lot of unnecessary changes, like almost weekly, like we're changing a program almost like and not just like volume or intensity, but like, oh, we're going to do a back squat, and then next week for their squat pattern we're going to do a front squat, and then the next we're going to do a reverse lunge. And it was like, I'm like, looking back, I didn't give anything a chance to work. So you never know what works if you don't like adhere to it for long enough for the athlete to progressively overload the movement to gain some type of like adaptation or like get repetitive stress from it. So for me, something I believed in early in my career was like heavily using exercise variations, varying program kind of elements, like constantly changing things too much and not just being like kind of more boring. And I think it was probably out of fear of like clients losing interest, or, you know, obviously there's a level of retention that you have to have if you want to make a living in the private setting. And I was influenced by my first supervisor was like heavily in the personal training world. So a little bit of a gen pop influence where you may be able to do some of those things more often because it's not as detrimental to the end product. Right. So all those things led me to like first couple of years is like, there's so many changes. And like, I think that's obviously that's pretty extreme example. And I'm far from that now, but I still think a lot of coaches get hung up on changing things so much or just trying to reinvent the wheel so much or having a new exercise variation for a staple movement like that doesn't need to be really changed or tweaked. So I just think like, don't be afraid to be a little bit boring and make up for the boring exercise selection with who you are as a coach. Ooh. And some of the things that we talked about. Ooh. You know what I mean? Like, I think generally we need to give some programs time to work and, yes, and know what works and what doesn't, because if you change things too much, then it's like, we don't really have a track record. And again, going back to BBT, that's been a huge thing because I want to see that same weight or same reps change speeds over time, or I want to see a change week to week because that's the only way if we know like if the input is truly getting the output that we're looking for.
I agree. And man, like that just, I got completely sidetracked based hearing you say that and that comment right there of having your program be boring, but being a good coach, like that just, that hit me to the core because that's so like, you think back to some of the best people that have ever like the, I forget his name, but the head high school guy that took you in 2016, he probably didn't run a crazy advanced program, but he connected to you as a person.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Like the guy that started me in my field, like Rainey Moyne, he like the program that I got was the, it was literally what URI football was doing. He got it from a kid that trained at the gym that went to URI. He photocopied and gave it to me. I thought he wrote me a program, but it was just that, you know what I mean? And he's like, yeah, kid, this is just what you need.
Yep. Yeah.
I also will, I've gone on record and said that what I used to do is we would do like 3 or 4 weeks. And then I found out that 5 weeks was kind of a sweet spot because as you were saying, weeks 1 and 2, the athletes are still learning the movement, right?
Yep.
And then, and this is if you got them like 4 days a week, then week 1 and 2, they're still learning it. Now weeks 3, 4, and 5, when I'm actually pushing them to get what I want out of it, you're getting what they want out of it versus, you know, just cycling something brand new. And you can really only cycle it brand new and get the max intent out of it from your vets that have been with you in years 10, 12, whatever. Yeah.
And then even going back to like the whole continuum spectrum conversation, it's like, okay, yeah, if you're at dire need of changing something, keep your A and your B the same or whatever those core lifts are. And then if you really, if you feel like there's some boredom or you want to, you don't like what you saw last week out of a certain lift, like some of the auxiliary stuff, maybe you can have some wiggle room there because the bulk of, you know, the program is probably going to happen in those core main lifts anyway. So it's like, you know, there's still wiggle room, but like, yeah, what I was doing first couple of years was just egregious. It was so bad.
Here's what I did too, though. I would change the warm up every 3 weeks, but the lift
The
lift would change every 5. So now there's a new stimulus to the athlete either every 3 or 2 weeks. And not only was it good for them, but it was good for me because think about how bad when I would change warm up and lift every 4 weeks, that first session of each of those, I'm explaining, even if it's, hey, we went from split squat to rear foot elevated or back squat to front squat, I'm still talking more than I have to. And I want to talk as little as possible about the certain things. I want to be spending time with the athlete and getting leadership capital that way.
I'm stealing that. That's genius. That's genius. I love that because like you said, when you overhaul that first day,
awful.
Hey, that's a workout for you.
Correct.
Like you're doing. Dude, and my demo leg is my right leg. So at the end of the day, my right leg is fried. So I was like, dude, I appreciate that. I'm stealing that for sure.
Good. That's the benefit. Yep. So I was thinking, okay, you're going to steal it and apply it. And talk about gem sessions to everybody. Like explain it a little bit more because when I was doing my research on you, I was very impressed. So I'm going to go ahead and just say that on record. Let everybody know what it is, the link to your stuff is going to be down below, but speak some life into that.
Man. Yeah. It's been just an evolution, like, of going through this industry and just trying to figure it out. Right. So opened a gym, physical location in 2017, ran that, really, really, really good years there, and eventually outgrew it. And then, so at the time I had a business partner and we were operating under a different name. And then we were looking for space, and kind of a space found us. Like, we were approached by a big multi-sport complex, like a, I don't want to say the name on here because we're not cool anymore, but essentially we got approached to come in and overhaul their sports performance department. And so it's like a campus. They have several buildings and different sports, different buildings, all kinds of stuff. And it went really well for about 2 years. Then it kind of had, you know, just, you know, money. When money gets weird, then I'm out, right? So I gotta walk. And so that was like almost a rock bottom moment in my career, because I'm like, I was at the top of the mountain. I had a staff of five. We had interns. We were seeing 200 athletes, unique athletes a week. Like, we're moving. So when I left there, kind of went back to the drawing board and was like, you know, obviously me and my partner, we're operating separately now. So that he wasn't a part of the issue. Like, we're good. We just kind of were like, you know, we both have our thing now. Like, basketball had become my thing there. I was starting to do both on the court stuff and weight room stuff, kind of blending those worlds. And he was basically doing the same for defensive backs. So I'm like, you know, I'm going to go all in and on myself. And that's kind of how Gym Sessions was born. And it's turned into a nonprofit. It's obviously a gym, but then I have the nonprofit side to it, where I'm able to do like cool events for the city, have some scholarship type opportunity stuff. So it's two separate entities, like two separate sides to the same business, but like, that's kind of like my umbrella. And then under that, I have my nonprofit and then my for-profit business as well. So where I'm at now, it's actually a crazy story. When I was looking for space, when we were originally moving that first gym, I looked at a space that is next door to where I am right now, like sitting currently, where I train. So the craziest thing was, when I went back to try to lease the space, it was no longer available. But the broker was like, I mean, there's a basketball place next door. Like, I can introduce you to the owner. So I'm like, all right. So I go in there, I tour. Lounge upstairs, or was, 1,000 square foot little square. So I'm like, dude, let's go in on a deal together and let me turn this into my weight room, and then I'll do all my basketball court downstairs. Like, obviously you have your own business, I have my own, we can make them work. Because by that point I was kind of, sorry, I was getting a call, I thought, oh, I was on D&D. By that point I was pretty much only dealing with like high level athletes and pros. So I have a little bit of a seasonal range, right? So I was able to work it out to where I would have the gym in the morning and then have the weight room like all hours. And then he was able to do his stuff for the high school kids in the evening. And we have kind of like a partnership, or like a feeder program there, where we're able to help each other out on those ends. But so, yeah, I mean, that's what I'm doing now. I have, about 30 pros that I work with in the off season. And then a lot of them, I will kind of virtually consult them as well, if they don't have a good situation with their strength coach. Or sometimes, obviously, it's a collaborative effort. If they do have a good situation with their strength coach, we're still collaborating, and I'm working with their strength coach wherever they are in the world.
Player Data is Strength Coach Network's trusted provider for GPS technology, and it's simple. The price you cannot beat, and the validity and accuracy of their technology is second to none. The price is outstanding. Go ahead and reach out to them to learn more about the pricing specific to you and however many units you're going to get. And then the validity. Player Data has been tested and run through FIFA's validation process for FIFA to then be utilizing Player Data technology. FIFA, we all know that name. They would not be utilizing a product that cannot live up to the competition and cannot be able to provide real, live, and accurate data. Player Data is able to do this. Not only do they have great software and hardware, but I know that the customer service is fantastic because I have worked with these individuals before. Click the link down below to learn more about Player Data.
Just kind of depends, man. Some countries, like some of the overseas guys, have really good scenarios to work with. Others, it's not the best. So, and it's not even like the coaching thing. It's just like resources. You know what I mean? Like some of the resources are just not available in some of the countries. So I say that all that to say, like, it's been a journey. Like, and now I'm to a point where I'm working with athletes, obviously skill development, physical development, blending those two worlds and just trying to get them what they need, you know, and just try to be the, you know, the best thing that they need in that moment. So
hearing any sorry, strength coaches,
I keep getting a call and it's killing me.
What about any strength coach that's listening and they're like, oh, all right, Justin, I'm just going to go and start a gym then too, because it's going to work out for me just like it did for you. What do you say to them? Yeah. Because like you said, like things can get iffy and like you have, like, I don't think enough people understand that and can underestimate it when they're still working at a high school or at a college or even in pro.
Yeah. I mean, I'm never one to like, so when I was opening a gym, everybody that I told was like, oh, don't do it. Are
yeah.
You sure?
I didn't mean that. I meant like, let's just speak some reality into it for him. Yeah.
And so I'm like, I'm more of like, and I actually just had this conversation with an athlete who's about to propose. And, you know, everybody's like telling me like, you know, how hard marriage is. And I had to tell him like, dude, is your wife your best friend? Yes. Okay, cool. Is there going to be some disagreements? Yes. But to tell somebody that is hard, who's about to go into a situation like that, is like crazy. It's like, yeah, you should uplift them. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I'm very much like, I'm going to tell you the real about opening a gym and being an entrepreneur. Like, obviously it's extremely challenging, but it's also extremely rewarding. Yep. And there's obviously some highs, there's some really high highs, there's some really low lows, and there's all the things in between that are so enjoyable. Like we talked about, learning from that process, learning from the journey. Like, you have to sometimes just go through some of those mistakes. Like, I'm gonna tell you the major ones to look out for. Like, hey, scale really slowly, don't grow too fast, like too big too fast. Like, try to bootstrap it yourself. Try not to have much debt. Try not to rely on other people as much as you can. Obviously, those are some basics, right? But at the end of the day, you know, am I going to help you with your equipment selection or what investments you feel like are the best? I don't think that's really the best for me to do, because some of the mistakes that I made in some of those realms are like really beneficial and really impactful for who I've become as a business owner and who I've become as a trainer, and learning how to deal with those. And if I allow you to skip that, if I like give you the keys too early, then you might miss out on a major lesson. Yeah. Obviously, I'm going to help you avoid the crazy potholes that are going to completely total your car. But some of those things, those ins and outs, like, I'm gonna make you aware of them, but I'm also gonna let you make your own decisions, right? Like, yeah, you need a POS system. You need a way to take payment. You need a way to schedule people. But I'm gonna tell you, my favorite is Team Builder OS. But like, is there other ones? Yeah, research them. Take demos. Pick one. I was with MindBody for years and hated it. So if I'm gonna tell you, avoid MindBody, but you might like it. You know what I mean? It might work for you. So I just say that to say, like, yeah, I'm gonna give you some advice, but there's also some elements like, and that's my parenting style too, right? Like, you gotta fall and scrape your knee a couple times so you learn what stupid shit not to do at the playground.
Bro,
you know,
I stole the saying from Jocko, is brushing against the guardrails of failure. Like,
yeah,
you're not totaling your car, but like, you're brushing against it so you can feel it. And I would do that with interns. Like, on low level things that they couldn't, like if they messed it up, it didn't ruin what we did for training. Like, all right, program this bulletproofing day, which was our word for like corrective exercises. And hey, you're going to lead it. Okay. Hey, what went right and wrong? Well, shoot, I didn't think about this, 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 or this. And you couldn't have learned that if you wouldn't have learned that as well as if you wrote a program and I talked down with you. No, like I'll never forget this. Good job. Yeah. Now it'll never happen again.
For sure. Yeah. Some of those things, they're really impactful and really, and like foundational in growing as a business owner and growing as a person. Like you gotta just, you know, like my first gym, I was trying to save money, bought a used water heater.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
During COVID, we were shut down. Remember I told you we were sneaking people in the back door every now and then? One day we snuck into about 6 inches of standing water.
Oh.
Because our water heater had corroded at the bottom, and you know, you don't see it, like you don't, it's not something you think about, but I saved $100 by getting the used one. My contractor was like, yeah, trust me, bro. I'm like, bet, put it up. So yeah, so that's one of those ones that I just had to learn from, you know. And I'm like, now I know there, it's probably best to get top quality stuff.
Let's get a brand new water heater.
Yeah, do things right. Do things right the first time. You only had to do it one time. Like, but what did that kill me? No. Was it annoying? Yeah. But like, it taught me a lesson. So, and it was funny looking back at it because it's like, dude, we saved $100 in the grand scheme of things. Like, what were we thinking? So those lessons, like, I take those with me, you know, everywhere I go.
Anybody listening to this, I mean, I'm completely floored with it too. Where has your laid back personality, your humility, and again, I'm not here to say like you're perfect. None of us are perfect, but like your energy and your vibe is something that is just fantastic to talk with. Where has that kind of come from or stemmed from?
Man, I appreciate that. I really do. I love, my wife calls me a yapper. Like I can yap with the best of them, bro. Like I just love to like, you know what I mean? And I think where it comes from, obviously, like I grew up with two supportive parents that came from nothing and came from, you know, I came from humble beginnings too. And so it's like, and I came from an area that was a melting pot where, you know, you've got all walks of life in the same area. You know, I really learned how to navigate life in the environment that I grew up in, and you know, in my high school, and seeing like really, really, really bad end of the spectrum and really, really good end of the spectrum, and being like, you know, there's all kinds of people in this world, and really we're all the same. We're trying to figure it out, right? Yes. And you just got to embrace everybody until they give you a reason not to, right? But I approach life like everybody is just doing their best. We're all just doing our best, right? And nobody has this shit figured out. But if you can just do your best every day and try to get those daily wins and just put a win streak together, it's like, man, you're going to have a pretty good life, right? So I just grew up like, obviously playing sports too teaches you so many lessons. Yes. But I think like my background of just coming from a really like diverse area and just learning how to navigate all these different scenarios, like, I feel comfortable talking to anybody. I feel comfortable like in a lot of scenarios that a lot of people may be not as comfortable in. And for me, it's like, you get to learn, you know, even if I'm wrong, I could get on here and like people listen to this and people will be like, yeah, I hate what he said about VBT. That's not how I use it. I would love to learn, you know, like I don't have all this figured out. I'm just here trying to get better every day. And so that's really how I approach my life. And it's like, you know, if people, I think a lot of times people get into a scenario where they try to exude like they have it figured out, and like they're like an expert. And I think I'm good at what I do. And I think I'm an expert on certain things. But if you portray yourself like that, you have nothing more to learn, then it's like, what are you hiding? You know what I mean? What are you trying to overcompensate for? Because all the best people that I've ever learned from have been the opposite of that. They've been humble. They've been, you know, almost like not as serious. Like they'll laugh at themselves. They'll laugh at their mistakes. they'll laugh about the stupid things they've done. And for me, I'm like, oh, well, he's just like me. So if he can do that, I can get to that level too. And so, you know, for me, it's just about being, again, just authentic and humble. And again, just trying to approach it every day, just trying to get better.
Got a couple of questions at the rapid fire at the end to respect your time and let you get back to it. What's the most overrated thing in basketball training right now?
And basketball training, man. So I intentionally didn't look at these rapid fire because I wanted to really rapid fire, but now I'm messing up the flow. So I would say there's a trend right now in basketball training and probably training everywhere where you're completely adhering to one model, one methodology, one train of thought, right? So in basketball, there's the constraints-led approach, the CLA, right? So, and if you look at the CLA, a lot of the leaders, I think, would say, you only do this. And I use elements of it, but I think they say, you only do this, you don't do block practice, you don't do drills on air, you only do small-sided games, CLA. And, you know, in strength training world, there could be something like a knees over toes or functional patterns or, you know, whatever, like, methodology, WEC method, like, it's like, you only do this, and this is what works, and everything else is stupid. And so I just feel like that's super overrated. I think you need to take positive elements from all of those things, right? Yep. There's some positive things in knees over toes. Yep. There's some positive things in the CLA approach. There's positive elements of every program, but for you to tell me that the one way that you do it is the best way, and if I don't do it that way, then I'm messing up, like, that makes no sense to me. And I think it's becoming, like, a little bit more popular now. Like, what's the other one? That they'll, like, post athletes when they get hurt and then be like, oh, yeah, if you train. Yeah, yeah. So it's like, I don't know much about it. Probably some type of positive element within their system.
There is. There are some things that they do that is right.
Yeah. Yes. But for you to say that only that one thing is the best way, I'm not on board with that. So I'm just like, I'm going to steal from everything and try to cultivate like this ultimate recipe from all the positive ingredients of all the options, you know? So I think it's overrated to like just stick to one brand and be like, this is the way.
Couldn't agree with you more. How about a trait that all high level basketball players have, regardless of their level?
The mentality, the mindset, the almost delusional confidence to be like, I'm that, you know, I'm him or I am her. Like, you can't mess with me. That is the separator. The mindset is the separator. You have to have extreme belief in yourself. And the best athletes I work with, I'm not going to say they don't have self-doubt, but they experience less self-doubt. And when they do experience it, they deal with it like something I've never seen before. It's impressive.
What was the best mistake that you've ever made as a coach?
So the best mistake, like a mistake that I made that ended up being like,
yeah, like, oh, hey, wow, like, okay, the water heater, like, you now learned, man, I'm not skimping on appliances. What's been something programming, gym-wise, what has been, like, the best learning thing from, all right, I scraped my knee, I'm not going to do that again?
Man, I'll tell you, and this is not advice, this just worked out for me. The best mistake that I made early was, like, bro, I didn't know what I wanted to do with my life when I was 18.
Me neither.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm picking a major. I picked telecommunications, broadcast journalism. I spent the first 2 years of my college in film. So I didn't major in kinesiology, exercise science, anything like that. It was only my junior year when I decided, like, this was the career I wanted to pursue, where I was able to get a little bit of the textbook background, but I didn't get the degree in it. Like, I still got my degree in telecommunications, but I was able to take a couple classes, the general stuff, and then self-educate on the stuff that I feel is important, on the stuff that I feel is valuable and beneficial. Read freaking T Nation, Simply Faster, yeah, Stack, get all the random NASM certifications, like trying to get recertified. Like, so I think the best mistake was just like maybe taking a different route and maybe not having the most traditional background, but doing it in a way where I was able to get experience, hands-on athletes faster, and get real life experience faster. And ultimately, I think it led to me being just a little bit more like common sense, a little bit more critical thinking, and not maybe just saying, oh, I saw it in a textbook, that's the way it is. But I was able to see how real life works faster and get out of the textbook and be like, okay, well, there's a disparity here. Like, so there's different ways to treat different athletes and talk to different people and coach different people. So I think the mistake was for me not knowing what I wanted to do and self-educating more than going the formal route rather than the other way, the more traditional way. Again, not advice. If I had to go back, maybe I probably would have chose the major. It would have saved me time and money. But if anybody's listening and they feel like they didn't go about it the right way because they didn't major in it or they don't have the degree or whatever, like, no, there's definitely still a route you can take.
Did not get my undergraduate degree in exercise science either. Like,
love it.
I went to college.
It's a Justin thing.
Right? I almost said the same thing. I went to college. I followed my best friend and two other kids we played high school football with. And I was like, oh, what they do, I'll do that too. Sure, that sounds good. Like,
yeah.
Worked out. But please, like you said, younger strength coaches, you don't have to follow that. Like,
you don't have to follow that. It took me 2 years of looking at myself, reading off a teleprompter to be like, yo, you don't have it. Choose something else.
Final question here. If a young coach wants to do this right, regardless of the sport that they're working in or if it's tactical, whatever, if they want to serve those that they work well, stay a strength coach, not burn out, what's one piece of advice you'd give to them, or multiple?
Man, the biggest piece of advice, I think, for avoiding burnout and just kind of making it, you know, is you got to really like – a lot of us are athletes or former athletes, washed up athletes. If you look at it like a sport, right? You're gonna win games, you're gonna lose games. You're gonna have good practices, you're gonna have bad practices, good workouts, bad. Like, you cannot forget that athlete mentality. You have to move on to the next play. You have to. Because what happens, like, for me it's basketball, for you it might have been football. Yeah. You mess up in a game, you're going to mess up. If you pout, hang your head, whatever, what is coach going to do? Yank. He's pulling you. You're going to be on the bench, right? You have to have the next play mentality. Something doesn't go right, you have to audible. You have to next play, next man up, right? So for me, it's like you take the mentality that made you a good athlete or made you enjoy athletics, and you apply that to your career. You're going to have really hard days, long days, bad days, days where you feel like you didn't connect with the athletes, days where you feel like you didn't push somebody hard enough. You're going to have really good days too, where you feel like you were killing it. You're going to have days in between. But again, with the athlete mentality, you take the high, you take the low, you take the good with the bad, never get too high, never get too low, remain even keeled, and just approach every day just trying to get better. And know that you're going to learn. You're going to continue to need to learn, and you have to find ways to enjoy it. And for me, that has made it enjoyable because I'm a competitor. I'm a person that loves to compete. If it's Uno, if it's spike ball, whatever, like I need to compete in something. And so for me, I find that to be my competitive edge on just staying locked in as a business owner, as a trainer, as a mentor, just understanding, like, you know, you got to look at it like that. And for me, it's like, it doesn't feel like now you're not working. It's more like you're just working on something. Like, you know what I mean? It's not like you're not putting in hard work that you don't enjoy. You're just really just going through a process and trying to figure things out and get better. So the other thing is stay off social media as much as you can. Like, use it for what it is. Like this
happened. Yes.
This happened. Right. This is amazing. I love social media, but like, dark. Like you guys
use it as a tool for work. That's about it.
Use it as a tool. Like, it's bad. It's probably more detrimental to your mental health than it is positive, but it's a necessary evil. But yeah, approach it like an athlete and then stay off social media and you'll be all right.
Justin, I could have talked to you all day. I have the same gab that I guess your wife would say you have. It's been an absolute pleasure to get to share the last hour and half with you talking off air right now.
Man, thank you so much for having me. Seriously, I've been listening to the show for a while, and obviously I'm tapped in with Strength Coach Network. So I really appreciate it, man. It was great to get to know you more and chop it up.
Thanks so much, man. You have a great rest of your day.
Yep. You too.